Thank you guys so much for your giving. Oh, praise God. Who needs an outline this morning? Anybody need an outline? Make sure. Everybody's got one? Good. Good, good, good. I want to talk to you this morning about ordering our lives, ordering your life. How many say, I need some order in my life? Oh, my God. There's always some area that we need order, isn't there? All you live streamers out there, this is for you too. We love you, live streamers. Anyway, praise God. Ordering your life. If you look at the word ordering, it means to organizing, making arrangements, putting things in proper order. You know, in the days that we're living in, we really need to put some things in order. And you know what? The only person who can do it is you. God's there with you, but you got to do it. We're going to look at some things about King David. 1 Samuel 17:49. Let's look at this. It says, "And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth." What a story. What a story. It's a favorite story in the Old Testament. David and the giant, we've read it to our children. There's so many things in that story. The destiny of a nation placed in the hands of a teenage boy. Now you think of this. Our destiny was placed in the hands of somebody else. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. And you found Jesus, you got saved. That was your destiny was in the hands of somebody else. Now we know it's in the hands of the Lord, but we still have a will. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for you, and you came into the kingdom. So here's David, a teenage boy that changed the destiny of a nation by what he did. A teenage boy, a shepherd boy. See, people saw a shepherd boy. God saw a king. See, people may see you as nothing in their eyes, but God sees you as kings and priests in his kingdom. Amen? Aren't you glad? He looks at us a lot different. The story is a prime example of what can happen when a spiritual reformer, a reformer is someone that is willing to make changes in order to see improvements. Are you making changes? Are you seeing improvements in your life? Are you growing from glory to glory, or are you just staying still and going backwards? See, spiritual former is willing to stand and speak in the name of the Lord. Young David is a modern-day example of what happens when order and planning combined with anointing and power come together. And you can see that. While everyone viewed the impossible, David viewed the impossible. Here you have Goliath taunting for 40, get this, 40 days. They stood there in the valley listening to this guy run his mouth, cursing God, cursing the Israelites, blaspheming them, and every one of them were afraid to do anything. David's a modern day example of what it happens when we do have the order and plan. Remember that. With the anointing and the power which he had. While everyone else focused on the way the battle David focused on the way it could be won. We sang that song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." I started chuckling about that because David said the battle belongs to the Lord. While everyone else looked at a 10-foot giant of a man with armor that weighed 320 pounds. Can you imagine carrying that around? 320 pounds. David was glued to one place that would bring victory. He could see the solution that could bring order to chaos. Are we bringing solutions that bring order to chaos? Something. order too. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Well, everyone saw the giant. David saw the forehead. Ordering your life or organizing or making arrangement in our life, people, is all about seeing the forehead, the one place that produces overcoming results. How many Christians, think about this, live their lives in chaos because they can't see a way out of their issues or a way into an open life? Tribulation. We live in a world where everything can go wrong, but our focus is not on that. Our focus is on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Rather than living with a focal point of victory, some people live a life of defeat, and haze. They miss out on the revelation that God has for their lives. God has an order for our lives. David allows us to catch a glimpse of how reformation of the heart affects how we order every area of our life. Every area. Now you think about this. Is there areas of our life that are out of whack that we look at and we go, God, I need to work on this area of my life? Every one of us do. We all have areas. None of us are exempt from that. We're always working until the day we get to heaven. Areas of our life. David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says, and that affected not only his worship, but also his stewardship of life. Now, the first point I want to give you, write this down. Ordering your life must begin in partnership with God. Partnership with God. Now, think about this. Sometimes people can have the idea that they don't need God. I know I need the Lord. All of us need God. It's kind of like the story of the woodpecker that was pecking on a tree. Just as it flew away, the lightning hit the tree and split it right down the middle. The woodpecker heard the noise. He turned back and said, "Look what I did." Partnering with God. We can't do it without God. We need Him. Without establishing a partnership with God, you will have an unclear picture of what you can really accomplish in life. Look at Romans 8:28. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into His plan for good. Now you ask how anything could good come out of that down there. Well, God knows. I don't. All things work together for good if you're partnering with God. God can turn situation around, make them better, if we'll partner with Him. If we allow God to change it up. Your self-imposed limitations will keep you from experiencing God's all things are possible potential. We limit ourselves, people, sometimes. We limit ourselves when God says, hey, take the door off the barn and go for it. God wants you to learn how to just step out and trust Him, even in areas that we're afraid to trust Him. David certainly becomes the reverse of this. Rather than relying on his own physical gifts, he depends upon God to propel him past his personal limitations. Now, here's a ruddy little kid who probably weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. He needed God to defeat the giant. It had to be a partnership with God that says, God, I'm in partnership with you, so I know you're with me. To the natural eye, there was no way he could defeat that giant. King Saul even said to David in 1 Samuel 17:33, look at this. You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. For you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now, what King Saul didn't understand, it doesn't matter about age, it matters who your God is. It matters who you're partnering with. I'm praying that the young generation will rise up and begin to be used of God like never before. Miracles will flow through their hands. But King Saul recognized that David didn't have the strength or the ability to defeat a giant on his own. And you know what? We can't do whatever God wants us to do in our own strength, but we can in his strength. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who gives us the what? The strength. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:5. Yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. Now, that's not a negative confession. It's an honest confession how much we need God. Amen. There's a lot of things that I need God. I need God's strength to do it. We don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. Paul is saying this. For our true competence flows from God's empowering what? Presence. The more you're in God's presence, the more power you're going to receive in your life. You cannot help it. The more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in his word, the more time you pray in his presence, the more his presence gets saturated in you. Actually, David had never even seen the battle before. He was so busy taking care of sheep. He had all these brothers that looked down on him. When you read the story about it, when David shows up to bring, you know, to see his brothers and bring some things, they just were mad at him. David never saw the battle before. He had simply showed up to the front line battle to provide his brothers with cheese whiz and crackers or something. Dad says, go take food to your brothers on the front line. Probably was cheeseburgers or a $5 fill-up at KFC, you know. But he says, go take these to your brothers. And then when he shows up, they're mad at him. Yet while he was there, the giant of a man presented himself. Look at 1 Samuel 17. And on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. You know, I looked up the word afraid, dismayed, terrified. You know what it means? It means to paralyze. It means to paralyze. At times, people, ordering your life will involve overcoming paralyzing words such as, you will never amount to anything. You will never do it. You will never accomplish anything. And you know what? Some of those words are so damaging. How many of us ever grew up and our parents told us that, you know, if you'll never amount to anything, you'll never do this, you'll never do that, or a teacher said this, or a teacher said that, or somebody said you'll never do anything for God, you'll never do anything? I've heard it. Sometimes people, even parents, teachers, or leaders will say, you can't win this battle, and you will be tempted to give up before you even try. So write this down. People don't realize that their words are seeking to paralyze you from attempting to fulfill your dream or your destiny. There's people today that are not even doing anything because of paralyzing words that have been spoken to them. You know, we heard the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words will hurt you. Words will cause you to back off from your destiny or back off from your dream, because we'll listen to what people say instead of what God says. See, God has a dream and a destiny for each and every one of us, but you're the only one that can fulfill that dream and destiny. Only you. God can't do it for you, but he will be with you when you make the decision and choice to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Don't give up because you have entered into a... See, you are a partner with God. Don't give up. And you'll accomplish what others see as impossible. Even what others think are possible, you'll accomplish it. The reality is that your giant won't come and present the challenge just one time. He did it for 40 days, morning and night. Just like the giant that David faced, your giant will present himself every morning, evening, until you deal with the giant in your life. He will keep hammering away at you with his size and strength day in and day out. He will challenge you. Isn't that like the devil? Tell you how bad he is and how bad you are. First Samuel 17:10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. That was the worst thing to say when David was there. I defy the armies of Israel. You know what that word means? Defy in the Hebrew text means to strip, defame, or expose. It means to strip, defame, and expose. That's what the devil wants to do with you and I. Your giant will literally come to strip, defame, and expose you to a life of defeat and depression. That's the job of the devil. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil will come to strip you of your joy and your peace. He will regulate you to a life of disorder. He will come to you and say, like he did in 1 Samuel 17:43. Let's look at this. Are you guys able to get that? Okay. Here's what Goliath says. Am I a dog that you come with to me with sticks? Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Here we see David coming out there and Goliath saying this to him. Am I a dog? What do you think I am? What a disgrace Goliath thought. He was telling Israel, here's what he said to Israel. He said, if you send me a man that can defeat me, we will be your servants. But if I defeat him, you will be our servants. And that's what he kept saying. And yet, David recognized his partnership with God. He knew that his cooperation with God would enable him to conquer what he could not conquer by himself. No wonder he was able to declare in the spirit. Look at 1 Samuel 17:45. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Wow. David was so confident in his partnership with God that we have to have the same confidence, people. He knew who he served. You know, when he was taking care of sheep and while his brothers were off to war, you know, when a lion came and tried to steal the sheep, he went after the lion and killed the lion. When a bear took off with one of the sheep in its mouth, he went after the bear and killed the bear. That has to be God. That has got to be God. And he begins to tell Saul about it. And he says to Saul, he said, Saul, you know, when I was out there, I killed this lion and I killed this bear. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine is no different than them. Wow. Why? His focal point was on God. Write this down, number two. Order in your life is dependent upon a plan of action. A plan of action. Once you and I are in partnership with God, God will not leave us hanging without a plan. See, God has a plan and a purpose for every human being on the face of the earth. How many are going to fulfill that plan and purpose? Lord, help us to fulfill the plan and purpose you have for our life. Amen? God, help us. Once you've entered into that partnership, God won't leave you hanging without a plan. You will begin to see the forehead. When David ran down the hill and with a sling and a rock in his hand, he told the giant in 1 Samuel 17, let's look at this. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take the head from off of you. That's gutsy, man. David had no fear. What if we'd have been back during that time? Wow. I'd have been in the tent and said, well, I got to make supper for everybody. When you read about David's declaration, you can't help but wonder how he will take the giant's head off when he didn't even have a sword. Huh. Yet, David already had a plan of action. He knew that he would knock the giant to the ground with a stone in the forehead. He knew that he would cut off the giant's head with the giant's own sword. Big tasks always come with detailed plans. Amen. God always provides a detailed plan. Isn't it funny? Later on, when you read about David, when he was running from Saul, it said that one of the guys had Goliath's sword in his house. David kept that sword. Souvenir. You know, just like when you deer hunt, right? You keep the rack. You know, you keep something as a trophy. Well, that was David's trophy. You know that David carried Goliath's head in a bag for, I don't know how long it was. He drops it off. You read the story. It's crazy. But he kept the sword. He kept the sword. God wants us to be instant in season and out of season in all facets of our Christian life. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready. Are we ready? Let me say this. Are we ready? Are we making ourselves ready? Are we ready for the return of the Lord? Is my heart right? Am I ready if Jesus comes back right now? Am I ready if I die tonight? Am I ready? A lot of people can't say, well, I don't know if I am. Am I ready to meet the Lord in the air? Am I ready for what's coming? Not that we live in fear, but in the end times, Jesus said a lot of things are going to happen. Am I ready? Were a lot of people ready when the hurricane hit? No, a lot of times people are stubborn and rebelling, say, well, I'm not going to leave. They're the ones that perish. But the people that plan to prepare live. Why? Because God's got a detailed plan. He's got a plan for our lives. But we've got to prepare ourselves for what God has for us. It's so important. And people miss that sometimes. We miss it. I miss it. And that's why we need God to keep being a reminder to us. As committed Christians, we've got to be flowing and flexible to hold the new wine of the Spirit of God for every season of time. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When the enemy strikes your home or he strikes with sickness, are we ready with the power and the faith of God to say, enough is enough? As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Are we instant in season and out when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, to be ready in case the enemy slings something at us? In case the enemy sits there and taunts you and lies to you that you're not who you are when God says you are who you are. Amen. Being ready. We can't afford to live our lives as disorganized mess, functioning with chaos and confusion. How many Christians would experience spiritual change or improvement if they would simply see the forehead of their obstacles and have the courage to act upon what they see by faith? What is our focus on, people? See, God is trying to get our focus on more and more of Him. We were talking about this Wednesday in our Bible study here, that God is leading us more and more into intercession. How many found out that sometimes it's so hard to pray in English, but we begin to pray in the Spirit of God because we don't know how to pray sometimes? I find myself just praying in the Spirit all the time because I don't sometimes know how to pray in English. I have to depend on the Lord and say, Lord, give me the words to pray. Speak through me. Why? Because it says in the last days that the power of the enemy would rise, the darkness would be strong, but it also said that the grace of God would much more abound than the darkness. The enemy is throwing everything he can at God's people to get them to quit and back off. Well, I've got news flash for him. Amen? Well, none of us are backing off on anything that God has called us to do or called us to be. He's working overtime to take as many people as he can to hell with him. That's what his job is. But God has given us the strength, the power, his glory, his presence, his word to rise up above that. Write this down, number three. Ordering your life will compel you to be prepared instead of not be ready. We talked a little bit. Your preparation, making, getting ready, making provision for today determines your success for tomorrow. What you do today in the prayer closet will determine what happens tomorrow in your life. I can't stress that enough. I'm not talking about people that we all miss it and spiritually get lazy and stuff like that from time to time. Come on. But what I'm saying is this, that we need to be prepared and ready. Not out of fear, but out of readiness. Instant in season and out, no matter what comes our way. No matter what. There's so many people that get caught off guard and they don't know what to do. They fall apart and they just flip out. But when God gets us ready, we get ourselves ready in him. No matter like David, what happens. He's tending sheep. He has never been there before. He comes and he shows up and he hears this guy shooting his mouth off and he goes, why hasn't anybody taken care of him? Why? David was already ready. You know what David was doing, tending sheep? He was playing his guitar, worshiping God. He was playing the lyre, always worshiping God. That's why David was a man after God's heart, because he knew how to worship God. I don't think David was just sitting out there looking at sheep all day. I think he was just having communication with his father. David knew how to worship God. He knew how to get in God's presence. He had a relationship. He had a partnership with God. Even when his brothers and his family basically looked at him and disowned him, God never did. Do you notice that when Samuel came to anoint the next king, he was going down the line of all the brothers that were brought Jesse's family. All these brothers are standing in a row. And Samuel's walking down it, and those guys probably felt really cocky, thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to be next king. I got it together, man. I'll tell you what, I'm the older brother. I should get the position. Samuel goes up to him, he goes, nope, not him. Nope, not him. Nope, not him. Nope. And he gets done, and he goes, do you have any more kids? Now, to think about that, Jesse, his father, wouldn't even acknowledge David. To have David come and stand in the line. Oh, he's just a little shepherd's boy. He's the runt of the family. He's, you know, it's his job, take care of this. Stay out of my hair. Samuel says, we're not moving on until you go get the other boy. David comes in and he goes, this is the man. He doesn't take a flask of oil. It says that he had a flask. He picked up a whole horn of oil and he dumped it on David's head and anointed him king. Now, can you imagine why the brothers would be mad? Wow. Jealousy. Well, God, why does he get all the breaks and I don't get nothing? Your preparation, Getting ready, making provision for today determines your success for tomorrow. Amen? Being successful tomorrow. Look at Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Let me read that again. And having shod your feet, this is one of the armor in Ephesians 6, in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Now, you think about the armor, and you think, what's the feet got to do with anything? Man, those old stinky, smelly things, you know. What feet? Why is feet so important? Because that's where the firm stability to stand against the enemy is. Yeah, when the soldiers, they shot at their feet, they put the metal plates on their forelegs and on the backs and everything. They had themselves shot and ready, prepared for the enemy to stand firm against the enemy. When the enemy would come and try to cut the legs from underneath them, I mean, they were rendered hopeless. The rendering here is to stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready. How many ever wrestled in high school? Anybody? Bill, you did? Jeff, you did? I did too. Tell you what, if you're not in the right stance, that guy's going to take you down every time. I mean, I'll tell you what, you were standing there braced like this and ready. And that's what they taught us and drilled into us. Don't get your feet in the right position, because when he comes in, you better be able to stand strong against your opponent. Made all the difference in the world. That was one of the areas that I got a lot more points on, was taking people down. I had that baby down. It was great. I'd do the shoulder shrug and get him every time. And it just go, because I knew this. If you don't go and get the legs and you don't get it right now and get them off their feet, you're going to burn out real quick. Right, Bill? Didn't take much to burn you out. But if you get them down and get them on the mat, go for the pin. Just go for the pin. Did I ever get pinned? I got pinned, trust me. I got pinned. But standing on your feet. Finish what you start today. Listen, finishing what you start today makes it easier to finish what you start tomorrow. Amen? Killing lions and bears today helps you kill giants tomorrow. That's why David said, this bear, this lion don't mean that. He's no different than them. He could see that no matter how big the obstacle was, no matter how small it was, whether it was a bear or a lion or it was Goliath, it didn't matter to him. They were all the same, because God helped him to do the lion and the bear, and he'll do it for me with this one. He didn't look at an obstacle and say, well, this one's just too big for me. How we do that every day. When things come our way, we go, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this one. Yeah? And so we look at that thing as a big giant when we already took care of the lion and the bear before. You got to look at them all the same. God, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Doesn't matter. With God, all things are possible. All things. Number four, last one. Ordering your life will produce a positive report. Things will be positive when you get your life in order. Does that make sense? There's so much negativity happening in our lives sometimes. We need something positive. We need something positive. Hebrews says, for by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. Let me ask you a question. What legacy am I going to leave behind? What legacy do I want to leave to my kids, my grandkids? Scary to say this, great-grandkids. Those days are coming. What legacy do I want to leave them? What legacy do I want to leave behind when I go to heaven? It's never too late. It's never too late to leave a legacy behind. Isn't it interesting how King Saul changed his tune after David killed the giant? After David got victory over the giant, isn't it amazing how Saul was patting him on the back when he doubted him the whole time? Saul even tried to give him his own armor. Can you imagine David walking around with all this? He's just a little 90-pound, 100-pound wet guy, and Saul's this big guy giving him his armor, and he's walking around with all the armor, and he said, I haven't proved this stuff. He threw it all off and said, I know what I need to do. You cannot use somebody else's victories. You can't have people fight your own battle all the time. We can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. You've got to try out your own method and own way going after God. David, I can't use that stuff. He put it all back, dropped it on the thing, and said, all I need is this. I got me a sling. One time when I was a little kid, I can't remember. Somebody was reading the story of David and Goliath, so I went out and I made one of those slings, you know, but I didn't make it very good. And I'm twirling this thing, and a car drove by, and I let this thing go, and the rock and the string go flying at the side of the car that went by. Guess who ran fast as they could? Bam! I hit the side of it. I said, oops, I'm out of here. And then I realized that the sling had a two-part to it. It wasn't just a rock on a sling or on a string. And I was swinging that thing, and all of a sudden, whoops, let go. And sure enough, I hit the side of a car that went by and went bam. Then I realized that in this, there's a part that's on your wrist or on your finger that holds the other part. So when you're slinging it, you let the one part go and you still got a hold. Probably would have hit the car if I would have made it right anyway. Huh. Oh, Saul's all excited. Come on over here, boy. Sit down with the king. Saul enlisted him as the general of his army already. And he wouldn't let him return home. He said, nope, you're going to come work for me. In fact, we hear that David was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul. And when the women came out and they began to sing and they began to celebrate in Israel because of the defeat of the Philistines and the defeat of Goliath, they danced and they sang. And this is what they sang. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000. Now get this. Saul let that one go. But later on, if you read down the next chapter, he was outraged because they gave credit to David and not him. He's a very jealous king, very insecure king. When they were looking for him as the king because the people wanted him, he was hiding behind the luggage. He was hiding behind the luggage. He was that insecure. And finally he came out, they anointed him. He was never to be king of Israel. David was. But the people wanted Saul as the king, and they got what they wanted. God says, you want him? You can have him. It's no different today when we vote somebody in and we get what we get because people won't vote or they vote the wrong person in. God will let you have it. He'll let you struggle. He'll let you suffer. He'll let all that. But God has a perfect person lined up because he's a ahead of time, planned, detailed God. Everywhere David went, he had a positive report. What kind of report do we have? Is our house in order or is it a mess? Think about that. What kind of a testimony are we really sharing if our lives are full of disorder? What kind of testimony are we really leaving our kids and our grandkids? See, order is not just taught, people, it's caught. People watch our lives. Does that mean we're never going to mess up? No, not at all. Are their kids catching our order or are they catching our disorder? What are we speaking? Lord, what do I need in my life that needs to change? How can we teach our kids order and tell them what to do when our own lives are uncleaned and filled with clutter at times? There's times in my past that I just said, God, forgive me. I felt sometimes I was such a poor example to my kids. Thank God my kids loved me. Thank God kids forgive us. Amen. Because we're not perfect. We do mess up. We do make mistakes. But it doesn't mean we can't try to be the best we can to leave the greatest example. However, reformation, a change of heart, will produce order. And ordering our house aright, just like Joshua's asked, for me and my house, we will serve God. That means sometimes you just got to just say, you might have to do a house cleaning. Sometimes it can be a person. I'm sorry. They cause more damage in your marriage or in your house than anything else. It happens. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. The mess on the outside is simply a statement of disorder on the inside. We need memories in our lives that declare, just like Saul, Saul has slain his 1,000, David his 10,000, a good report. That's how we want to leave a legacy. When we leave this earth, we leave a legacy, say, I did what God told me to do. Even if I failed, I failed forward. Amen. I tried. I did what I was supposed to do. And that's all we can ask. Every day, life is full of order. Every day, life is full of order. If you don't believe it, consider your morning routine. Most people have an order to the way they get dressed. They eat their breakfast. They primp in the mirror. I remember when the girls were living at home, you could just about know what you needed to buy. Alicia loved cereal. You might as well just give her a box of cereal, milk, and that's all she'd eat. She'd eat that for dinner and she'd eat that for supper. Well, I just like my cereal. You knew exactly what they were going to do. As far as primping in the mirror, thank God she's not here. She did a lot of that. That was the routine every morning. Nothing wrong with it. I just thought, guys, we get up, look in the mirror, wipe the sleep out of our eyes, comb our hair a little bit, and say, we're ready to go. Women, a little bit more. That's okay. But your life, listen, your life is like a spiritual garden. It needs to be seeded, cultivated, watered, and weeded. All the vegetables need to be placed in certain rows. How many do your garden just throw everything together? And then harvest it at the right time. Tragically, if you don't discipline yourself to order your garden, it becomes a mess. Chaos, right? I like this. A reporter asked the great evangelist D.L. Moody. Now, a lot of us don't know D.L. Moody, but you can find his books. He was, I think D.L. Moody was actually a president in one of the colleges in Chicago. I want to say Dearborn or Trinity or something. But anyway, they asked D.L. Moody which people gave him the most trouble. He answered immediately, "I've had more trouble with D.L. Moody than any man alive." Being honest with ourselves, sometimes I have more problems with myself than I do with anybody else. Listen, my prayer is that God will begin to whisper to you and say, it's time to order your life. It's time to change priorities, rearrange some things so that we can be the best we can be. God loves us just the way we are. He loves us. Listen, he loves you. If you never did anything, he'd still love you. But his benefit is for you to be the best you can be for him. Perhaps God desires to reform your relationships or a job or house or finances. God wants to do something. But let him continue the reformation process in our hearts. God, keep working on me. Don't ever quit on me. Amen. We haven't arrived. We haven't made it, but God is there to help us. Spiritual order won't come overnight. If it's taken a lifetime for disorder to come to various parts of our life, don't expect order to come quickly. God didn't order the world in one day. It took him 6 days. 7 days he rested the seventh day. The solution won't be found in Saul's armor, you know what? But it's found in a slingshot, that little slingshot. See, it's not in Saul's armor. It's not in anybody else's ability. It's not in my wife's, my husband's, or pastor so-and-so, or this pastor. But it's in God. It's in him. God will take whatever you have, and he will use it to defeat giants. Because David was able to see the forehead, he was victorious. He didn't focus on just slinging the stone at the giant. Now think of this. He picked up five smooth stones out of the brook. It only took one to kill the giant. Why five stones? Do you know Goliath had five brothers? He thought, I'll kill this one, bring him on. Come on, boys. If his four other brothers would have came, he'd have slung and killed every one of them. Now you think of this. If David would have just nonchalantly threw that and hit him on the coat of armor, it wouldn't have done anything. But I believe David prayed. He said, Lord, make this sling, make this shot. He focused right on that boy's forehead, and he saw a little space between the helmet. And he said, Lord, direct this rock and hit this giant. He slung that thing, and it hit him right. And it says that it sunk into his head and dropped that boy right there. Man, there's martial artists that could kill you with two fingers. They just know where to hit. He became a spiritual reformer, and he brought deliverance to his world. See, listen, people. God can use us. God can use us even with the little that we have. He wants to use us. You say, well, Pastor Adi, I don't have anything to offer anybody. Oh, yes, you do. You got gifts and talents that God wants to use to change the destiny of somebody else's life. Now you think about this. How many people you've prayed through in the past? How many people have gotten saved and born again because you chose to use what you had and allow God to use that to bring somebody into the kingdom? As you order your life, you will also become a spiritual reformer and bring deliverance to our world, to your world. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for Davids that don't care about their size. They don't care about this. They have faith, partnership with God, that God will do what he says he will do. That's what he says. Studying the life of David shows us that reformation is possible through the anointed partnership with God. When David confronted the giant, he brought order to a chaotic situation, and he experienced the greatest victory. We're light in a world that is dark. You're the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Let it shine before men, that they may see God in your life. Allow the lessons of his life to help you evaluate your own. Have you entered into a blessed partnership with God? Think about that. What are the current situations in your life that seem like giant obstacles that you're facing right now? Are you seeking God for a plan of action to overcome your giant obstacles? In what areas of your life are you winging it? And what do you need to do to turn these areas into a positive testimony? This is the question God's asking us. These are things that we need to look at. God is challenging the church in the last days to rise up and to lay aside all the things that easily beset them in the race we have. Not in your own strength, people, but in the strength of God. By going to God and say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you. Just like David. David was no match for this giant, but God was. He knew who his God was. He declared and decreed, I'll take your head right off, boy. I'm going to drop you. I'm going to sink this into your head. I'm going to drop you. That's how we need to be with the devil. The devil, you're not having my family. You're not having my children. You're not having my marriage. You're not having this. You're not having that. You're not having my life. You're not having so-and-so's life, because I declare and decree by God Almighty, you're just not going to have it. And you begin to pray and intercede till God has his way and not the enemy. Let's pray. Keith, can you come? Holly, can you guys come? Let's do the last song. Before we pray, people, I want us to do an examination in our hearts. God is speaking. He's preparing his people to be ready, not only for his coming, but for great exploits that are coming. The greatest revival is going to hit this planet. I believe it. But you and I get to be a part of that. By allowing God to order our life, to position our life, to arrange our life in a place that God can use us for his glory. In these last days, Lord, use us for your glory. Let me leave a legacy. Let me stand. Let my epitaph be on my tombstone. He did what God called him or her to do, and they did it well. P.S., not by my own strength, but by God's power. Amen. Let's worship. Keith, let's pray.
Purify this tainted soul. Which I live in life of a fool. Soften up this heart and plea. To thee, servant, this I pray. A reflection of you I long to be. So your kingdom I will see. I will taken things I thought my own, only to reap all I've sown. You've given back the years I've thought. Thank you, Lord. Unending love and grace you've brought. Eternal hope and peace you bring. Forever unto you I will sing. I surrender to your throne. Surrender to your throne. I will make my heart your home. Oh, I surrender to your throne. Forever, forever unto you I will sing. 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 I surrender.
I surrender.
Song. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we desperately need a change of heart. Some areas, Lord, maybe we struggle with, but we can always use reformation in our heart. Father, we need your help to overcome the giants that stand against us and overwhelm us sometimes. Lord, forgive us for trying to face them on our own. And sometimes for allowing words, Father, paralyzing words of others to stop us from living an overcoming life. From setbacks, Lord, that may have caused us to slow down or give up. Right now, Father, we need you and we ask for your help. We ask you to order our life, position our life, arrange our life to the place that we can be used for your glory. Father, bring reformation to those areas that sometimes are filled with chaos and confusion. Father, help us to see the forehead. So we can sling it and not just wing it, Lord, but we can focus on the victory. Father, help us to have the courage to produce a positive report to those around us. Father, we ask for your strength, your guidance, as we surrender areas of our life, as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for where we've fallen short. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua, Jesus, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you for your compassion and your grace and your mercy in time of need. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that if we fail forward in serving you and honoring you this morning. This morning, Father, we just put our trust in you. We surrender our lives to you. We surrender all to you. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to put our lives in order, to be ready, to stay in partnership with you, so that, Father, we won't have negative reports, but good reports in every area that we put our hands to. We ask your blessing on each and every person in this place today. We ask you to fill their houses with your glory, your presence. And Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to take our place. In ourselves, Lord, can't do it, but with you, all things are possible, who gives us the strength. So, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for the privilege and honor to serve you and to be together as God's people. And, Father, we ask all these things through your Son, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.